Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. A federal prosecutor in Boston, Assistant U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Auerhahn, faces potential disbarment as a local disciplinary panel gets set to weigh the allegation that Auerhahn deliberately withheld evidence that could have cleared two men of guilt in connection with a murder. Judges have described his conduct as extreme, blatant, egregious, feckless, and outrageous. But he's never been publicly disciplined by the Justice Department. A three-part series on WBUR this week examines how that has happened. WBUR's David Boeri has been digging into this story and joins us in the studio now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bob.
For those who missed your report yesterday, give us a quick recap on what you're looking into.
Some judges and criminal defense attorneys say there's a dangerous trend, a growing tactic by federal prosecutors to withhold important and even exculpatory evidence from defendants. A prominent case here in Boston involves former Mafia capo Vincent Ferrara.
You know, I am what I am, and I did what I did.
That's Vincent Vinnie Ferrara. In 1992, federal prosecutor Jeffrey Auerhahn cornered Ferrara into a plea deal that put him away for a 22-year sentence. He proclaimed his innocence, but Ferrara then pled guilty to a murder charge to avoid the risk of getting life. Now, the trouble with that, Bob, is that 11 years later, the witness who testified that Ferrara had ordered that murder had a change of heart or mind. He came forward and said Ferrara did not order the murder. And by the way, that witness, Walter Jordan, now passed a polygraph test. A judge called a special court hearing, and Walter Jordan testified that as a government witness, he lied.
I would imagine that that came as a shock.
It was worse than that, Bob. Walter Jordan now testified that he had told this to the prosecution before they went to that trial. He tried to recant, he said, but Jeffrey Auerhahn wouldn't listen. Instead, Jordan claimed, Auerhahn and others around Auerhahn scared him into sticking with his lie.
Of course, this was a man, Walter Jordan, was a man who was on the fringes of the Boston mob. There was a concern, as I understand it, that in recanting, he wasn't telling the truth.
That's right. And as the witness himself told me, I'm a rat. And a rat is a rat. But Jordan was followed on the witness stand by the explosive testimony of a retired Boston police detective. His name was Martin Coleman, and he testified that, yes, Jordan had confided to him back in 1991 that he really wasn't telling the truth. And Detective Coleman testified that he wrote a report to that effect and handed it to Auerhahn himself. The courtroom was stunned, Bob. The judge called a recess and ordered federal attorneys to find Coleman's report. And after they brought it back to the judge, Mark Wolf, he called it the smokingest gun I've ever seen. Bernard Grossberg was the lawyer for the other defendant in the case, the one convicted of following Vincent Ferrara's alleged orders.
Coleman's report says exactly what Coleman said, that he told Auerhahn that Walter Jordan had recanted.
By rulings of the Supreme Court and local rules of the federal court, prosecutors must provide a defendant with any evidence in the government's possession that might clear him of guilt. Detective Coleman said he knew that well. So back in 1991, Coleman testified, he handed a typewritten memo about the witness's change of story to prosecutor Jeffrey Auerhahn and said, "This is exculpatory. I want it handed to the defense."
We should have had that report.
Had Auerhahn turned over that evidence to Bernard Grossberg, who represented defendant Patsy Barone, and to the attorney defending Vincent Ferrara, Auerhahn would have clearly fulfilled his obligation as a prosecutor. But turning it over may well have wrecked his case and his attempt to make Ferrara, the mafia up-and-comer, a down-and-outer. When your only witness, who you're expecting to say Ferrara ordered the murders, now says Ferrara didn't order the murders, your case is going south. In any event, Auerhahn never disclosed Coleman's report or Jordan's statements to the defense.
It would merit a grand jury investigation into obstruction of justice and subornation of perjury were it not for the statute of limitations, which applies to a criminal prosecution.
That's Harvey Silverglate, a local criminal defense attorney and author of Three Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent. During those hearings in 2003, suspense and suspicion turned on the prosecutor Jeffrey Aurahan as soon as Detective Coleman's file entered the courtroom. The file contained Coleman's handwritten memo, but what was missing from the file was the report that Coleman said he signed and hand-delivered to Aurahan after he watched the secretary type up his handwritten notes. That was crucial, because now there was another typed report in the file, purporting to be from Coleman. But Coleman said he never wrote it, and he hadn't signed it either. And this suspect report contained none of the witness's most damaging statements. So who wrote and typed that doctored report and put it in the file?
You never thought that an assistant U.S. attorney would be involved in fabricating evidence.
At this point in the hearings, the judge, Mark Wolf, turned into a tiger closing in on the chase.
Whoever authored that report had committed a form of perjury.
Now, Jeffrey Aurahan was called to the stand. He testified he had no memory of seeing Coleman's report or receiving that information in any form at any time. He had no memory of Coleman or the witness telling him that his central witness in a murder case had admitted to lying. After a stunning litany of a lost memory, Aurahan stepped down and walked past Vincent Ferrara, who was sitting beside his lawyers in his orange prison jumpsuit.
It was the greatest feeling in the world when Judge Wolf said that this court seriously doubts that Ferrara had anything to do with the homicide. It was a moment that I wanted to really stand up and cheer.
Judge Wolf called Detective Coleman an honest and able cop, but he called Jeffrey Aurahan's conduct a fraud upon the court. The judge wrote he was persuaded that Aurahan had doctored that suspect report himself. The judge would later rule he had no choice but to release Vincent Ferrara from prison, which he did in 2005. He had released the other defendant, Patsy Baroni, 2 years earlier. In explaining why he had lied, recanted, wobbled, and then gone back to lying again about Ferrara, Walter Jordan later told me he knew what Jeffrey Aurahan and the FBI agent wanted. They wanted Vinnie Ferrara. They didn't want Patsy Baroni. It was Vinnie. I'm no idiot. I was afraid they'd give me life in prison if I didn't testify to that.
This is an epidemic in the federal criminal justice system.
Defense attorney Harvey Silverglate.
They teach the witnesses how to tell them what they want to hear. I call this subornation of perjury.
7 years later, Jeffrey Aurahan continues to work as a federal prosecutor here in Boston. He's been praised by the last U.S. attorney. There's never been a public action by the Justice Department to discipline him. Through his lawyers, Aurahan declined to comment for this story. A few miles away from the federal courthouse, at a coffee shop in the North End, Vincent Ferrara says he's keeping his word to Judge Wolf that he would not return to his past. In this reversal of fortune, the former mafia capo turns philosophical, offering ironic clarity and understanding.
Jeffrey Aurahan was very passionate about his work, became obsessed, and ended up into the zealot zone. That's when he crossed the line.
Judge Mark Wolf wanted Aurahan held accountable for crossing that line. And in reaction to the judge's fury and his accusations, the U.S. attorney and Aurahan's boss in Boston defended his office. Here's U.S. attorney Michael Sullivan in October 2003.
These allegations that were raised during this 2255 are serious allegations. We've acknowledged that to the court. In fact, we've asked for a complete investigation to get to the bottom of these allegations.
Tomorrow, in our next report, we'll tell you what happened to that investigation and why this judge and others are questioning whether the Department of Justice is capable of policing itself. For WBUR, I'm David Boeri.